Ladies and gentlemen, it's the radio show with less planning than the Athens Olympic Commission. This is Tommy Mack in Los Angeles.
And Bart Kopp in Oklahoma.
And we're coming to you live and direct on this beautiful day. So Bart, tell me, how's things hanging for you?
I'll tell you, I'm having a whole lot better day than kinda sleazy Rice.
Oh my God, I saw her on 60 Minutes last night. Someone needs to slap her around. That was the worst thing she could have done was do that interview because she just buried Bush inadvertently by trying to protect him. It was great.
You know, I only caught the tail end of it. I taped it, so I'll get to go back and look at it. But at the very end, Ed Bradley kept saying, "Don't you think you at least owe the families an apology?" And she said, "Well, we all feel bad about the dead people." And it's like, well, no, bitch, that ain't what he asked you.
Condi writes, "I see dead people."
It just wouldn't hurt her at all to say, yes, we are sorry. The fact that the attack occurred proves that we were not vigilant enough. I mean, Christ, that's just common sense. The idea that you were snuck up on, you can't hardly say I wasn't snuck up on if you were snuck up on.
I know, it was amazing. In fact, I wish more and more Bush administration officials would go on 60 Minutes.
You know, recently the Vulgar Pig Boy said that arrogance is so off-putting, and he was trying to make out like Kerry was the arrogant guy, but boy, that kind of sleazy last night, she really did him a lot of harm, I agree with you.
And there's nothing better than the Vulgar Pig Boy talking about arrogance. There's just something intrinsically wrong and ironic about that. On a base level, it's very ironic.
You know, about 40 years ago...
Dun, 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 dun.
I was watching an episode of That Girl with Marlo Thomas.
With whom?
Marlo Thomas.
Yeah, okay.
She was a hottie back then. But anyway, she was having an argument with her boyfriend, Donald. And I think Donald was sneaking around with some woman trying to buy Marlo Thomas a ring or something, maybe an expensive birthday gift, Christmas gift, anyway. Marlo was so upset, she thought, oh, I can't believe you did this to me, and she just went off on a giant long tirade, and right in the middle of it, he put his finger up, and he said, stop. And she said, what? And he said, the farther you go, the farther you're going to have to come back.
Good.
And that stuck with me all these years, and this is a good example of it. Rice and those idiots are standing there saying, we will not testify, we cannot testify, we will not break the solemn whatever bullshit reason they give for why she can't testify, but she's going to have to testify. It's going to happen.
I don't remember offhand, but didn't Sandy Berger, the National Security Advisor under the Clinton administration, didn't he testify once upon a time under oath?
Yep, and so did Zbigniew Brzezinski under Carter.
So what is she saying? It's a long-standing tradition that I don't have, that the National Security Advisor doesn't testify under oath. What the hell is she talking about? What kind of tradition is it? What's a 3-year-old tradition? Get a life, Condi!
It's not even a 2-year-old tradition. In 2002, George Tenet, I forget the subject, but he adamantly refused to testify under the same, you know, nonsense reason. But finally he gave in and testified. I mean, they're acting like it's, you know, like the confessional privilege that cannot be broken under any circumstances. But if it'll help us politically, we can do it. There's no problem.
Yeah, well, you know, they're all pulling a Cheney. He set the precedent long ago about not, you know, having a transparent government. It's just more of the same.
But it just kills me. I'm enjoying every minute of this. Every day that she refuses to testify, the tension just builds and builds and builds. At some point, she's going to have to testify, and then the whole world is going to watch to see what she's been hiding all this time. And think of the pressure on the Democrats now. The onus is on them to really ask her some piercing questions to find out why she's refusing to testify and find out what she's hiding. The pressure is building.
You know, just for fun, I'm going to refer to her as the chipmunk. Just, you know, with teeth like that, you got to get it fixed, babe.
Well, I must admit I stole my kind of sleazy Rice from Richard Fricker. So I guess I'd give him a little credit for that.
Nice.
Hey, let me ask you, you like Cuban food?
Love Cuban food. Eat it all the time.
Well, I never had any. I just thought I'd bring that up as a way to segue into this Cuba situation we have.
I didn't realize we were having a Cuba situation.
Over the weekend or whatever, lately, these poor bastards, I don't know how many of them, you know me and the facts, but a few of them got on inner tubes in Cuba, and they paddled the 75 or 90 miles, whatever it is, and they get all the way here, they get within 100 yards of shore, and then people spot them, and then the Coast Guard comes, and now here comes the helicopters and all that. And that whore Wolf Blitzer was saying, I'll be right back with dramatic footage of the Cubans. It's like, it's a dude in a tire. Jump back with this dramatic footage. You know, yeah, it was kind of dramatic to see a man sitting in an inner tube in clear water 100 yards from shore. That's heavy drama in my book. But the point is, this goofy law that if you can sneak in you're home. But if we catch you, you got to go back. Now, what the hell happens when you get caught escaping Castro's Cuba? What do they do to you when you get returned? I doubt if they say, naughty, naughty. I mean, do they... I don't guess they execute you.
Well, unless you're Elian Gonzalez, then you're welcomed as a national hero.
Well, yeah, and that was another entire hand job that just got way out of hand.
By the way, my opinion, it was the right thing to do. Leave politics out of it. He has a father that is still alive. He must be returned to the father. That's the way it is.
Okay, but that Cuban family in Miami couldn't get any publicity without it.
I know.
Hell, I'm surprised they haven't got a book out. They should have their own TV show on Fox.
The anti-Elian show?
But the idea that Cuba is so close, and I've said this many times, but, you know, we could turn Britney Spears and rock and roll and Camaro convertibles loose on Cuba, and Castro would fall in 90 days. I don't know why. There must be a reason. The billionaire's making money.
Exactly. If the best way to basically get rid of the Castro regime is to do trade with them. Break the embargo. Let them have Big Macs. Let them have all the worst of Western civilization. That's the way all the people will... Because Castro's not going to live for very much longer, okay? I think the weight of his back is going to snap from his beard, okay? But give him everything that America is, and the next leader will just say, screw it, let's go back to the way it was in the 40s.
Yeah, as soon as they get fast food, about, you know, 2 years later, the whole island will be fat. They'll be too fat to swim. And then they'll have to stay there.
Of course, they do have one of the world-class health systems, which, you know, we don't like to mention.
Well, yeah, that would be wrong, to quote Mr. Nixon.
Of course.
But, yeah, our Cuba policy is stupid. We should change it. But let me ask you this. What's the price of gas out there?
I have no idea.
I thought you owned a car.
Oh, out here. I thought you meant in Cuba. It's like, what's the price of gas in Cuba? I'm thinking, geez, Bart, put me on the spot there, you bastard. Okay, price of gas out here. If I'm lucky, I can buy a regular... unleaded for about $2.11.
Wow, it's $1.60 here.
Sometimes you can be such a big dick.
But the point is, this gouging, the reason the prices have gone up so much is because, A, unexpected demand. Like, who thought in the spring they would need any gas in America? And then they're trying to blame it on OPEC. OPEC, yes, has something to do with it, but the idea, gas could be just rock bottom. The biggest, okay, Walmart is the biggest corporation in the world, but you know who made the most profits?
Exxon did.
They made $21 billion last year, profit. And they're passing this on to us in the form of a gouge. And people like Bush and Cheney are going to say, well, the marketplace sets the prices and the demand and, they give you all that, but no.
Worse than that, here in California, you hear Republicans and conservatives saying, the reason why gas costs so much out here is because of choking environmental regulations on the refineries. And that's been proven false. They take refineries offline and don't fix them because the price goes up and there's no impetus for the corporations to bring more refineries online. It's like, why should we? If we do that, they'll make the price of gas cheaper. Let's keep it artificially inflated by not bringing all our refineries back online. It's the same thing that happened during the electrical crisis, which was bullshit, and it's happening right now with gas.
I think it's remarkable that since we have an oil president and he's guaranteed never to go against the oil companies, they're just running wild. You can't accidentally make $21 billion and at the same time say, oh, all we're doing is passing on these horrible liberal restrictions onto you. But the $21 billion, that was just an accidental byproduct.
I remember during the campaign, Monkey Boy actually said, well, the price of gas is just too high, and it's going to hurt Americans. And if I'm president, I'm going to tell Middle East to open the spigots. Do you remember that? Open the spigots.
I remember.
He said that.
I remember another one he did. They asked him what we could do with about domestic production. And he said, swear to God, he said, well, I'll tell the producers, keep on producing. Swear to God, that's how he answered a question in one of the debates in 2000.
What the hell did mankind do to deserve him?
He was a monkey then, he's a monkey now, he's going to be a monkey till the day he dies. But let's go to something pleasant. What about abortion?
Hey, you know, if there's anything that can just bring the whole room together, it's talking about abortion. When you're ready for just some good old laughter, bring up abortion, Bark. Yeah.
Let me tell you what they're doing now. It's a subtle trick, but I caught them because I have an IQ of 64 and the monkeys can't outwit me.
Good God.
I was just in the car listening to a little Fox News. Oh, that Shepard Smith.
Oh, yeah.
He better hope he don't find himself next to me on a long airplane ride where he can't get away.
You'll rip his eyebrows out?
Oh, no, I'm going to make him cry in front of everybody.
Excellent.
Like Bob Dole, Nixon's funeral. But on the way home, he's on the air, he's talking about When we come back, we're going to talk about partial birth abortion, or late-term abortion, as some people call it. So what they're going to do, they're going to change, let's say for a second that we all agree that partial birth abortion is wrong. Let's say that for a second. If they have that, now they're trying to mingle that, they're trying to muddy the water a little bit, they're trying to make out like partial birth abortion and late-term abortion are the same. So once they get that battle won, now we're faced with what is late. Is 5 months late? Is seven late? Is three late? How about one? How about 2 weeks? The biggest voting bloc in the country is women. The biggest reason I was mad at Gore in 2000, when I kept yelling about the big hammer, he's the big hammer, I was talking about the abortion thing. If he would, at every speech, if Gore would have said, you're going to lose your right to have an abortion, you're going to lose the right, you women, to control your own body if Bush gets elected. But no, he wouldn't say that. He wouldn't speak in frank, normal terms that everyone can understand. He's all this highfalutin, $200,000 a year speechwriter praise prose that makes no sense. You know, now and then he'd mention that. But if he would just end every speech on the campaign trail with, you're going to lose your right to control your own body if Bush wins this next election, I mean, I'm giving this advice now to Kerry, that would swing a lot of people. Women under, what, Roe's been legal now 30 years, 31 years. So if you're under 40, you really don't have an idea of what abortion being illegal means. You might have heard stories. You might have seen a Law and Order. You might have seen, you know, some story. But most people don't understand that if abortion is illegal and you're a 17-year-old or 15, 13-year-old find yourself pregnant, when I was in college, and granted that was back when the dinosaurs were there, they swear to God, there was a girl in Mrs. Bart's dorm who thought she was pregnant, so she stood on her head and had someone put Coca-Cola in her uterus.
Ow.
She heard that that was an abortion remedy or whatever you call it, and it's just an example of the idiocy. And, you know, I'm not even going to bring up coat hangers, but women have to understand that if Bush wins this next election, he's going to appoint maybe 2 Supreme Court justices, and he's going to sign any wacky, religious, crazy bill that is sent to him on abortion. They ought to pick a day, 100,000 women in the streets of New York, because if Bush wins this next election, I can guarantee you, Nancy Grace guarantee, abortion will be illegal if Bush wins this next election, and if that's not important to the women, fine. But if it is important to them, I'd just like to ring the bell a couple times and say, hello, this is happening. If you care for it, fight for it. If not, hey, I'm not going to have any children myself. This is not a big deal to me. If it's not a big deal to them, we can stop talking about it. But if it is a big deal to them, they need to stand up and make their voice heard now.
Wow. I'm sorry, I forgot I was listening.
Well, hey, what else we got?
I don't know. What else do we have, Bart?
If there's anything more friendly than abortion, it'd be Israel. Let's talk about this for a second.
Man, you know, and after Israel, what else can we get to that just brings the world together? Macs versus PCs, or perhaps...
You know, I don't, as you know, and as I'm famous for, I don't know much about the whole situation over there, and I'm proud of that because I don't want to get into it. It's a no-win situation. Why would you want to jump in really deep into the no-win situation? I prefer to look at the no-win situation from afar.
Mm-hmm.
But this latest guy that Sharon had killed, I didn't know. He's an old man, and he's a quadriplegic. He can't move his arms and legs. He's in a wheelchair, and they singled him out for a missile. And, you know, without taking sides, it seems on the surface to a guy in Oklahoma who's not too bright, this old man who they called a moderate, again, that's I have no clue, but he was described as a moderate.
Yeah.
And now he's being replaced by a guy who's made it his personal jihad to murder Sharon. Now think of what kind of hell we're going to have in the Middle East if they succeed. If Sharon gets killed, if they blow up a car or a bridge or whatever when he's crossing it, and Sharon's dead, the guy who wins the next election in Israel is going to be the guy who promises the most retaliation.
Which is a path that if you go down, you never recover from. Retaliation leads to bigger retaliation from the other side, which leads to bigger retaliation from the other side. Everyone killed is more hatred caused for the respective parties. That is a fact, whether it's the Palestinians in Israel, whether it's the Iraqis and American soldiers, it doesn't matter. Every person dead leaves behind 3 people who are really royally pissed off. If they continue down this path, either side, Israel and Palestine, they both claim to have the right to live. They do have the right to live, but by trying to enforce that militarily from both sides, it ain't going to work, and it ain't going to happen. And they're all going to have the right to die much sooner.
And they will exercise that right.
Obviously. And it's very interesting because it's a conservative mind thought that the only way to deal with this is through violence. That is a very conservative mind thought. And think about who killed one of the best prime ministers Israel had, Rabin.
Yeah.
He was killed by a conservative Jewish citizen of Israel.
He was killed for daring to make a peace overture.
Amazing.
The headline is on the paper, is U.S. blocks U.N. Security Council rebuke of Israel. So, once again, in rough terms, the whole world wanted to condemn Israel, and the United States said, no, can't do that. But we privately said, or, you know, kind of off the record said, we wish Israel hadn't done that. But here we are occupying Iraq, who didn't even attack us.
I know.
It's just crazy for us to be telling, I mean, taking the other side now for a second, here we are telling Sharon to knock it off, when here we are invading countries that...
And why didn't we capture and interrogate Udi and Kudi Hussein, you know? Technically, we went to war with a state in Iraq. Therefore, they're not enemy combatants. They are actually prisoners of war. Why did we kill them? Why didn't we imprison them? Why, you know, because we've got more information from them. I know why we didn't, because, you know, the Bush family evil empire doesn't want us to know everything that they knew.
Well, plus, we have no idea under what circumstances Udi and Kudi died. As far as we know, they caught them coming out of an elevator and just said, you know, dude, this ain't your day, and open fire. We don't know. The report was that they cornered them in a building, and they said come out, and they wouldn't come out, and they could have treated it like a hostage situation, waited them out, but then again, they might have had months of food, yada, yada. But we just have no clue. The idea that we're getting our information from a whore press that owes their livelihood to a crooked criminal who's invading other countries, hell, we got no idea at all what the hell's going on over there.
Right. So I agree with you that we are kind of flip-flopping nationally as a policy by saying we condemn and then not condemn the assassination of other people's leader.
What could be more of a uniter than Jane Fonda? Let's talk about this for a second. Why did they hate Jane Fonda so much?
From what I understand, that during the Vietnam War, she went to North Vietnam, and I'm not sure. Didn't she try to say, hey, we need to be groovy and peaceful? I don't know.
What she did was she cavorted with the enemy. It's the only time in my life I've ever heard the term cavorted used, but that's what she did with the enemy. I was there, no, I wasn't there, but I was at the time I was aware of things, and she went to North Vietnam, and she was kind of joking with the soldiers, and she sat on a tank, I don't know, maybe put on a North Vietnamese, I mean, it was the wrong thing to do, but what she did was give, not quite aid and comfort, but she gave smiles and friendship to the enemy. But I always want to compare that to Ollie North giving two plane loads of Stinger missiles to the terrorists. Between Ollie North and Jane Fonda was a misdemeanor, and Ollie should be hung for treason.
I agree right there, brother.
But that's not even where we're going. Okay, that's number one why they hate Jane Fonda, because she cavorted with the enemy. What's number two?
Because she was married to Ted Turner at one time?
No, that's number four.
Oh, damn.
No, today or yesterday sometime is the 25th anniversary of Three Mile Island. Now, I think you were probably, if I know your age, you were 9 or 10 when Three Mile Island happened, so I would forgive you.
Yeah, but I was really, really into nuclear reactors as a kid, so I know all about it.
But you've probably seen the China Syndrome, right?
Oh, yeah. Michael Douglas's medium to worst movie.
You didn't like it? I liked it.
Well, that's the difference between me and you, Bart.
That's the difference between L.A. and Oklahoma.
That's right.
But in the film, see, the film came out before Three Mile Island. In the movie, she very famously said, if this reactor goes, it will render an area roughly the size of Pennsylvania uninhabitable for whatever, 30 million years, something like that. And the Republicans went nuts. Oh, here comes that nutty slut Jane Fonda with her idiot ideas. Here we go once again, the left, the sky is falling, the worst is going to happen, the doom and gloom crowd, they just came down on her just like you figure they would. And then the reactor blows up in Pennsylvania. It was spectacular. It was vindication times 10,000, but of course, she wasn't allowed to get any vindication for it, because she's Jane Fonda, and the Republicans are always right, and she's a traitor, and they wave the flag, and etc., etc. It's the 25th anniversary. Yeah, the second biggest reason to hate Jane Fonda is because she was right. Boy, if I had a staff. There's something like out of 28 or 30 years that they've been doing this certain kind of drill at the nuclear plants,
mm-hmm.
Something like 27 of the 30 years, they've been cheating on the tests. The NRC, or what is it, National Nuclear Regulatory Commission, NRC, they have these pop quizzes now and then where, you know, all of a sudden, ooga, ooga, and everybody runs their posts and they do this and that. Well, out of the 30 years, 27 times, they got advance notice that we're having a pop quiz on Friday. So everybody showed up on Friday sober and ready to go and had their track shoes on and They're all sitting there waiting for the bell to go off. It's only a nuclear meltdown. Why would we want to play honest with that? Let's just shake that off.
I think they're all looking for the Chernobyl Prize.
But it reminds me of Homer Simpson.
Oh.
You know, the guy working at the nuclear factory, the nuclear power plant, that really just has no clue, doesn't have any idea what he's doing. And woe to Jane Fonda for being the person to point out that if you screw up the nuclear power thing, boy, that second chance is a real bitch. And especially in Pennsylvania, you know, the wind goes from west to east. So if Pennsylvania melts down, we lose New York, we lose Boston, we lose Jersey, we lose Philadelphia.
We lose a bunch of blue states.
Yeah, so Bush will let it happen.
Right.
Tell you what, in 2 days, we're going to have some competition. As you know, we are the premium number one left-wing radio program in the world.
We're not only the premium number one left-wing radio program in the world, we're nutritious. That's right. Bart Cop Radio has been proven by scientists at Cornell University to include over 80% of the vitamins and minerals that you require in a daily diet. So remember, Bart Cop Radio is not just for breakfast anymore.
But actually, I can't wait. I'd like to hear 3 hours of Al Franken. I'd like to hear 3 hours of... I don't know if I can do it every day. I mean, I can't every day, but...
And the fact that he's calling his program the O Franken Factor is just hilarious.
That's so cool. That clip we played on the last show, that cracked Dave up. As soon as he heard Old Franken Factor, you could hear it repeat it to himself, Old Franken Factor.
My friends, I'm Rush Limbaugh.
What we're going to do is, of course, try to get them to mention Bart Cop Radio. And eventually, as I see it, with more subscribers and more people spreading the word and the gospel of Bart Cop Radio, I can see you being on Air America within a year, Bart. I can see it happening.
Well, hey, do you remember, it's been 12, 15 issues back, radio shows back. I remember telling you on the air that, I heard some Take Back the Media radio, and I thought, oh, my God, that's so good. We got to get better real fast, and we did. We got real better real fast.
Take Back the Media is a very professional radio show, and I suggest our listeners also check them out. But, like you said, look where we're at now.
Well, yeah, and it's because competition is good. If I think there should be more. If there was 50 left-wing radio stations on the web, we'd have to be better still, and, you know, we are trying to be better still, but when we see somebody ahead of us, we think, hey, I need to work hard to get that good. And so I'm hoping that our show will get better after we listen to a little bit of what they're doing. They might give us an idea that we're not going to steal, but we might see a technique they use. We might take something they did and change it, make it better, fix it kind of deal, but I'm really looking forward to that. I just can't imagine what it's going to be like to turn on the radio 3 hours a day. Boy, that's a commitment. I wonder how many years they signed up for, because, boy, 3 hours a day. I mean, yeah, I could do 3 hours a day if I didn't have a page, so maybe it's not that hard, but, and Koresh knows there's at least 3 hours a day of outrages you can get out of this administration every day. So we're looking forward to that. The big talk radio left-wing fest starts, I guess, Wednesday? What's today?
Yeah, but the question is, I mean, it's going to be here in Los Angeles, New York, and Chicago, and somewhere else. But how are you going to listen to it, Bart?
It's on the web.
Ah.
Yeah, it's New York, L.A., Chicago, and AirAmerica.com.
Which I'm pleased, but we do need this to be in swing states as well.
Yeah, you're right. It would be nice if it was in, you know, Ohio, Pennsylvania, and Florida.
In Albuquerque.
I'm hearing that Ohio, Pennsylvania, yep, and Florida is the shizzle. They said that's where it's all going to happen, you know. Oklahoma is going to stay Nazi, so is Texas.
Actually, I tell you what, just for fun, yesterday, I was surfing some of the websites of former presidential candidates, and checked out Clark's website, and I checked out John Edwards' website, and I wanted to stay away from Lieberman because he's a putz.
Turtlehead.
He is a turtlehead. Now, on John Edwards' website, there's this great interactive map that shows you all the blue and red states from the election, starting with Reagan, both Reagans, Bush Sr., both Clintons, and the Gore-Bush fiasco. And when you roll over each state, it also tells you how many electoral points it's worth, what the trend is, which are the swing states. It's a very cool, informative map. I spent at least half an hour on it when I should have been working. It's very cool. I suggest a lot of our listeners go check out John Edwards' old site. Check it out. See what the swing states are. Learn about it. What it will take for Democrats to get back this country.
Okay, that's johnedwards.com or what?
Okay, yeah, it's johnedwards2004.com. And on the right side, you'll see interactive electoral map. It's very cool. Check it out.
You know what confuses me? I think they changed. Aren't we the blue guys now? Didn't we used to be the red guys and now we're the blue guys?
I have no idea. I thought we were always blue.
No, I think back in Clinton days, I think he was blue. But, I mean, I could be wrong, but I think they changed that.
Well, we're blue now, and I'm cool with that.
I'd rather be blue than red.
Absolutely.
Well, it has that old better red than dead connotation going to it.
That's a stretch, Bart. That's a real stretch.
All right, let's talk about JonBenet.
Let's talk about JonBenet.
Yeah, her dad wants to run for Congress in Michigan. You see, when they were in Colorado, you know, the poor little girl was murdered. And then they moved to Atlanta. And not sure what happened in Atlanta, but now that they're in Michigan, he wants to represent Michigan. That makes a lot of sense. But the best thing I think he's got going for him is he didn't murder anybody.
Well, no.
Now, I'm not sure that the mother murdered anybody either, but it's my opinion that they think she wrote the note. You know, that stupid note said, we are a small foreign faction. And that always struck me. You might be a small foreign faction, but you would never identify yourself that way. That's how an American would identify someone else. You would never identify yourself as a small foreign faction.
That's like saying, hi, I've got a small p***. You don't do that. You think highly of yourself, and other people will go, oh dear, you've got a small p***.
Plus, the ransom note was meticulously written with perfect grammar. I mean, if you just murder, you don't sneak into someone's house, murder a little girl, and then sit down and worry about diction and grammar and proper penmanship when you're writing the note.
I do. Whenever I sneak into someone's house and murder little girls, I want to make sure I'm making a statement and that it's grammatically correct. I want people thinking ill of me.
Moving on from JonBenet, let's talk about the pessimism.
The what?
The pessimism in the country. USA Today poll finds 60% of the people say America's going the wrong direction.
I don't believe that. Oh, sorry, I was being pessimistic.
Remember, we had paradise under Clinton, and when Bush ran in 2000, he promised to reverse the direction we were going, and he did it. It's the only campaign promise, well, that and taxes, that he kept. He promised to reverse the direction, and by God, he's done a spectacular job of that. We can't take that from him.
I wonder if he sucked at math. Because whenever he was supposed to divide, he added. And whenever he was supposed to add, he divided. Because that whole, I'm going to be a uniter, not a divider. Maybe he just got it wrong.
Yeah, he's pretty much a... Remember he joked about being a gentleman C student? And a gentleman C means you should get a D, but since we're all gentlemen, and you're in the skull and bones, and your daddy's got money, we'll give you a C.
Well, you know, if you really think about it, if you get a D when you're that hopped up on cocaine, that's not bad. That's not bad at all. When I was doing massive amounts of cocaine, my test scores sucked. So, hey, more power to our president. He can do cocaine and still pass. That's an accomplishment.
Yeah, I wonder how many abortions he paid for when he was in Yale.
Well, you know what? I only wish there had been one. Barbara Bush aborted him. That would have been a good choice.
Mr. Ashcroft, that was Tommy Mack said that. He lives in Los Angeles. I, Bart Cop in Oklahoma, would never say such a thing.
I got hair that's bleached and short, and I look like Johnny Rotten from the Sex Pistols, and if you got a problem with it, John Ashcroft, then stick it up your f***ing ass!
What did you do to your hair?
Well, I decided to cut it short and bleach it white.
Oh, is that right?
Yeah, that way people get off elevators when I get
on. You know, it's funny, your hair is one reason why we hooked up. I told the story before, but when we went to... What was it called? Bart Fest West or Vegas?
Bart Fest West in Las Vegas, yeah.
Yeah, the first one. That was the first time we met. You said, hi, I'm a music dude from L.A. And I looked at you and thought, wow, he is a music dude from L.A. Check him out.
Well, then I'm, 6'4", and I look like a Q-tip, and I wear black all the time. So these things kind of make me stand out just a bit, but not in L.A. We all look this way. Hell, we got a cat. We bleach his hair white, too.
Damn.
I know. It's crazy.
Tell you what, in closing, let me mention this. Dave has Janet tonight, the lady that changed the entire moral compass of the greatest nation on earth. Janet Jackson is on Dave tonight, the first interview, the first appearance after the most famous nipple in all history.
You know what? You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to get this together. I'm going to get the shot of the halftime show and do it in slow motion. And then I'm going to get the audio from the Hindenburg crash and overlay it and see what that looks like. Oh, my God, it's coming down. Oh, the humanity. Oh, this is horrible. I think it would work very well. And the reason why is because I'm pissed. Because believe it or not, Bart, what she did has now affected me personally. I lost a $600 a month gig editing some comedy content for a local radio station because now they're so concerned about their decency, even though what I was doing was clean, but they just want to play it so safe that I lost that income because of her and the way the country is reacting to it. It's crap, it's stupid, and I'm pissed.
You know, I mentioned this in other parts of today's radio show, but tonight on O'Reilly, he has Mancow as a guest. Now, Mancow is...
He's a shock jock out of Chicago, I believe.
Yes, but he makes Rush Limbaugh look like a reasonable man.
Good God.
He is such a nut. He is Rush Limbaugh times three hand jobs. And he's going to be on O'Reilly tonight whining about how the government, it's not Bush that's doing this to him, it's not Ashcroft, you know, no, it's the government that's coming after Mancow. And they don't have the balls to say it's Bush, it's Ashcroft, because the right wing is so behind their man that they refuse to call a spade a spade. They will not say the sun is bright. They will not say the grass is green, the sky is blue. They can't say that because it undermines everything they've said up until then. So tonight, Mancow is going to be on O'Reilly. I know you won't have this up by 7 o'clock, but he's going to be on whining about how the government is restricting his freedom to speak. Well, no, that's the Republican Party, you moron. The Democrats are for free speech. The Democrats are for the liberal arts. We didn't get outraged when we saw Little Nipple. We thought, well, that's in the wrong spot. If Gore, the rightful elected president, had been in charge at the time, he probably would have said, you Hollywood people should knock that off, and it would have been the end of it. But no, since we got some moralistic, religiously crazy bastards in charge who have stolen our government from us, now they're posturing a bunch of this crap, and their biggest backers, the talk radio Nazis, all they can do is blame the government instead of the people who are doing this to them, which is Bush and Ashcroft.
I'm with you 100% there, Bart. In fact, everyone out there in Bart Cop Radio Land, do us a favor. I don't care if you have a Democrat or Republican senator or congressman or woman. Send them a letter. Say that you are not outraged. You think that the FCC is going in the wrong direction. Actually do something about it. Be proactive. Be positive. At least dozens of you are listening right now, so do something about it.
Yeah, and also elsewhere in this radio show, I mentioned Dennis Miller's hypocrisy. He made his bones on HBO by being free to speak, just as we do here. We can say we have chosen not to use a whole lot of the F word on the show, but we can if we want. And Dennis Miller, yes, we knew who he was from Saturday Night Live, but on his HBO show, he became somebody because he was free to speak and he could say anything he wants. Now that he's a Fox whore, he's on TV saying, oh, some of these people go too far. Some of them exercising free speech. Some of them aren't toeing the line. They're criticizing Bush. Such hypocrisy. Between Mancow and Dennis Miller, Rush Limbaugh, Hannity, all these clowns, the First Amendment, backed by the Democrats, is what gives them the power to speak, and now all they can do is blame some faceless, nameless government problem instead of the sons of bitches that caused it.
Don't they want government off our backs? Don't they want less regulations? Isn't that what they say they want, or are they just being hypocritical again? I ask you.
They say they want that, but they're lying. They say they want less regulation, but they want to spend hundreds of millions of dollars a year to hire helicopters to fly over marijuana plantations to see if they can't... Remember that, you're probably too young to remember the Paraquat. Back in the 70s, they had this plan to put poison on the pot plants. Let's poison the pot plants so the pot smokers will die. This is our government helping us out. God gives us a gift. He sends us a flower that makes people feel better. And our federal government, with a big boot on our throat, feels like it's a good thing to poison God's flower so the innocent people die when they use God's gift.
Well, as you know, I don't do pot, but I don't mind if other people do. It's their choice. Of course, I drink a lot of morphine on my cornflakes.
You are so not into drugs.
Who, me?
Yeah.
Why should I be into drugs when I'm into ritualistic torture of small little animals? Same high.
A lot cheaper stomping puppies than it is buying pot.
Okay, just let everyone out there know, including PETA, I do not harm animals. Much. No, really, I don't harm animals at all if they lick my face. No, wait, I don't harm animals at all On Tuesdays. Damn it, just forget everything I said, okay?
And that one hamster that died, that was a complete accident. That suffocation was not intentional.
Okay, we're going to edit a lot of this out. Or I just may leave it in and see how many subscriptions you just lost.
Well, hey, how do you want to wrap this up?
Well, now that we have gone into some of the worst depths of mankind, do you think there's anything more we need to talk about, Bart?
Yeah, actually, I got 2-3 more hours in me.
You got 2 or 3 more hours in you? Well, get more fiber in your diet then, okay? No, really. Anything else we got?
Nope, I think that'll do it, buddy.
Excellent. Well, then, once again, on behalf of Tommy Mack in Los Angeles
and Bart feeling the effects in Oklahoma,
we thank you for subscribing to Bart Cop Radio, and we ask you, do you know where your luggage is? Talk to you next show. Ciao.
What the hell?